We're continuing now in our study of the Gospel of Luke, and today we're in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Let me begin, of course, by reading that text. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. End quote. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy and fully inspired and inerrant word. Amen. Luke chapter 9 reveals to us that even a cursory reading of the gospels throughout the gospels, that this Luke chapter 9 text is a reminder to us that Jesus and his apostles preached the kingdom of God and cast out demons and healed the sick and even raised the dead. It was the ordinary practice of our Lord and his apostles to do this. In Jesus Christ, the power of the kingdom of God was present in word and in deed. Tragically, this stands in direct contrast to the lack of preaching and power displayed in the American church today. Today, neither the preaching of the kingdom of God nor healing and deliverance is common. Why is this? The New Testament is clear that Jesus came to inaugurate his kingdom in the present age, and that salvation includes both personal transformation and, yes, physical healing is available. Jesus came into the world not to simply convey information, but to make people whole. Let me say that again. Jesus came into the world not to simply convey information, but to make people whole from the inside out. The salvation that he came to bring is a complete salvation. The question is, do you know that God desires you to be whole? That is to say, do you know that Christ came to redeem you from a state of deception and brokenness and to deliver you into a state of wholeness? What I want you to know is that God sent his Son into the world to do more then provide a formula for post-mortem salvation. He came into the world to do more than to get you to heaven when you die. Christ came to rescue you from this present evil age in the now and to give you a new identity in him, a new purpose for living, and a new hope for the future. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation for lost and broken people, and not just good information to be marketed to so-called spiritual seekers. In this sermon, I want to exhort you to look to Christ and his power for salvation, for healing, and for deliverance. And I want you to understand why his power is missing within the modern American church, so that you can pray for repentance and revival according to God's will. So preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick, that was the way of Christ and the way of the apostles. But why is it not the way of the modern church? One reason is that two of the most dominant systems of theology in America simply place no emphasis on these things. Reformed theology, for example, stresses predestination and forensic justification by faith alone, And understandably, those are good, sound doctrines. But they do so often to the exclusion of other foundational doctrines, including the kingdom of God itself. The other dominant system of classic dispensationalism, which is by far the most prominent system of theology within evangelicalism, has historically dismissed the kingdom of God altogether, placing it in a future millennium, and for those of Jewish descent alone. Some even teach that the Sermon on the Mount is not for Gentile Christians at all. My brothers and sisters, this is just plain heresy. Then there is the business model of the church, which has become so popular in recent decades with its seeker sensitivity and its emphasis on churching the unchurched. Is it a wonder? Is it any wonder? Any genuine ministry is occurring anywhere in North America? It is a wonder that any genuine ministry is occurring. But wherever these systems, along with the business model of the church, are rejected in favor of a genuine New Testament emphasis on a believer's church within which the sufficiency of Christ and his kingdom are preached, the Lord Jesus is still saving, healing, and bringing deliverance to lost souls. Those churches will still stress that every word of God is for every believer to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the power of his kingdom is still to be displayed, are thriving. And I don't mean in large mega church ways of thriving. I'm talking about thriving where genuine spiritual life is happening in the name of Jesus. So today I'm emphasizing the good news found in the Gospel of Luke regarding the preaching and healing ministry of Jesus, which he delegated in our text to his church. Now, let me assure you, when I speak of healing, I'm speaking of that which is commonly prescribed within the New Testament. I'm not advocating for faith healing, spectacles, displays, miracles as they are sold and marketed and as occur amongst the religious charlatans of our day. I realize there are many fine believers who suffer from debilitating chronic illnesses and conditions. Nonetheless, we have to preach God's word and not judge according to our present experience. So what I want you to hear is that the New Testament is more than a record of propositional truths. Rather, it is a message enlivened by the Holy Spirit, which presents truth as a person, the person of Jesus Christ, and healing as the primary effect of his teaching. In John 6:63, Jesus said his words were spirit and they were life. When he spoke, life was imparted, true life, healing life. We cannot control upon whom faith is to be healed or to be healed is granted, any more than we can control upon whom the grace of God moves, bringing in regeneration and salvation. But we can preach the word of God. And your New Testament is clear that Jesus came to preach the kingdom of God and to heal those whom he will. When Jesus announced his messianic mission at Nazareth, he did not hand out copies of his messianic credentials or a manifesto. Jesus wasn't recruiting scholars. He was declaring deliverance. Jesus came to save and restore his people, often from among the dregs of society, the broken, the moral outcasts, the prostitutes, and tax collectors. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. Indeed, the only group Jesus said he had not come to save was the righteous, Matthew 9:13. Therefore, when Jesus announced his mission at Nazareth, he quoted the messianic prophecy of Isaiah, which proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him both to preach and to bring deliverance. to preach, to proclaim the gospel to the poor, and to bring healing. To miss Jesus as a healer in your life is to miss half of his ministry. Let's look a little closer at that principle. Later in the gospel, when John sent his messengers to determine whether Jesus was the coming one or whether they should look for another, Jesus again did not list his teaching credentials, nor did he provide a carefully prepared synopsis of his doctrine. Rather, he set forth the effects of both his preaching and healing ministry. And in order to highlight this glorious truth, Luke prefaces our Lord's words with his own commentary, saying in Luke 7, "And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight." And then Luke tells us, Jesus told the messengers of John, quote, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." End quote. That's Luke 7:22. Did you hear that? Go and tell John the things you have both seen and heard. I wonder, does anyone in America have that testimony about their church? If a neighbor asks how the Sunday service was, would any believer today respond, "Wow, I saw the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead raised, and the poor having the good news of God's care and provision preached to them"? But did you catch that? Seen and heard. It's not likely that we would see those things today. It's not likely that that's how we would define Jesus' ministry amongst us today, is it? But that's what the Bible says. Not only did the messengers of John hear heaven-sent doctrine being taught, they saw the effects of that doctrine upon those who heard and believed. And those effects were tangible. Those effects were measurable to the degree that one could report back to another what they had seen as well as what they had heard. And again, this was not exceptional. It was the ordinary effects of our Lord's ministry. He taught, and the result of that teaching was healing from the inside out. Do you know that Christ heals from the inside out? He teaches the only truth that can save. And that salvation reaches way down deep inside the human soul and roots out the deadly sin nature. And the natural consequence of that work as it has a healing effect on the entirety of the person who believes. Listen, please, let me say it again. Christ did not come to provide you with information on how to get you to heaven, but to bring heaven to earth in the now, to be fully realized, of course, in the future, but nonetheless to be experienced in its power in the now. Recently, in Luke's narrative, we read of our Lord calming a storm. We read then of how he brought deliverance to a demoniac, a man who had a legion of demons. We read of how he healed a woman of a hopeless bleeding condition and then restored life to a dead girl. All these were hopeless situations, but not for the Lord of hope, we said. Would we bring our hopeless situations to Jesus today? Or would we look to others, more doctors, more psychologists? Or would we just give up? Listen, Jesus specialized in hopeless situations. The messianic ministry that Jesus announced at Nazareth was in full blossom throughout Galilee and the surrounding region in our text. People were being made whole from impossible states. The Lord of wholeness was come to his people. And what would be next? And that's where our text comes into play. Because what would be next would be the expansion of that ministry, meaning the replication of the Spirit's powerful anointing within the ministry of the 12 disciples. So Jesus sends the 12. Now, we should understand that the anointing of the Spirit belongs to Jesus of Nazareth alone. That anointing brings deliverance as well as the proclamation of good news. And we believe the scripture when it declares that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. There has never been a time in which Jesus stopped preaching and healing. And since Pentecost, he has done so through his church. This means the locus for preaching and healing today remains in his body, the church, on planet Earth. And if you are born of the Spirit, if you are united to Christ by the Spirit and baptized in water, you are a member of his body, the church. And the ministry of Jesus Christ continues today in you and through you. Now, the beginnings then of this grand truth is what we discover in our text today. Quote, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. End quote. Three key words here. He called them, he gifted them, and he sent them. Called, gifted, sent. The power and authority to preach and heal are delegated to those whom he called, and it was not theirs to do with as they would. Instead, they were to go as representatives of Christ into the world. We see this principle played out in Acts chapter 3, for example. Peter and John had gone into the temple. This is, of course, post-resurrection, post-ascension, post-Pentecost. And to the marvel of the crowd, Peter had healed the man who had been lame from birth. So when Peter saw it, we are told in Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 16, he responded to the people saying, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. End quote. It was Jesus who healed this man through Peter. And the faithful disciple was quick to point out that it was not by his own piety or power. Later, Peter and John were arrested for preaching and healing at the temple. And the same religious hierarchy that had killed Jesus was now threatening the disciples. We should note here that Spirit-empowered preaching has never been popular with the religious elite, and it's not popular today. Once again, Peter made the point clear to the religious ruler, saying, quote, in Acts 4:8 through 10, quote, rulers of the people of and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be made known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man stand, by him this man stands here before you whole." End quote. Peter spoke of Christ's power in him, through him, to those around him. Peter spoke truth to the authorities. He didn't seek an alliance with them. He didn't seek to please them. He had one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter did not consider how to redefine the ministry of Christ in order to make it acceptable to the rulers. All the faithful throughout church history have preached and healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and not in their own name. The preaching and healing ministry belongs to Jesus alone. It's his ministry in the church. And rulers, both civil and religious, have opposed that ministry as they've opposed Peter and John in that day. Throughout church history, civil and religious leaders have opposed the ministry of Christ. They've never stopped persecuting Jesus Christ. If they could, they'd crucify him every Friday. Every aspect of true ministry belongs to Jesus Christ. It is faith in him alone that he saves. It is faith in him alone that heals. And never faith in celebrity pastors or religious gurus or civil authorities. As Peter declared, quote, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Peter pointed to the rulers away from himself and toward Christ and his power. Peter was clear that the ministry that day at the temple belonged to Jesus. So, the ministry of believers, including you, is a delegated ministry. And this means the church is a people sent into the world, just as Jesus was sent by the Father. You might recall in John 20, verse 21, the risen Christ said, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you," he told his disciples. "As the Father has sent me, so I also send you." Every believer is a sent person. You are sent by Christ. Called. You were gifted and sent. That defines the ministry of every believer. Do you realize that? Do you realize that you are a sent believer? You are sent into the world. Every day you get up and walk out that door, you are sent into the world to represent Jesus Christ. There are, of course, people who are not sent. As the old preacher once asked a roaming evangelist, he said, "Are you sent or did you just went?" End quote. Some people just went. They are not sent. You know them. There are self-promoters on every, in the airwaves and the radio and TV. And we know them. You can tell them. Their ministry is all about them and not Jesus Christ. Paul spoke of self-centered preachers like these. He told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Such people speak a worldly wisdom, as James calls it. James refers to this wisdom as earthly, sensual, demonic. He says that they walk in envy and self-seeking, creating confusion in every evil thing. James 3:15. We've all seen and heard of these preachers and charlatans and these authoritarian leaders, but they have nothing to do with Christ. They are neither called nor gifted nor sent by Christ. And believe me, their day of judgment is coming. But you are called. If you are in Christ, you are called. You are gifted and you are sent. Turn away from yourself. Point people to Christ. There is a crimson stream, the old hymn says, of blood flows that flows from Calvary. And that's what we need to point people to. My ministry is not mine. I don't have a ministry. I have a delegated, have a sense of being called and gifted and sent. What I'm doing right now, even in the sound of my voice, I'm doing it in the name of Jesus, not in my own name. So there are those, however, that go around in their own name, exercising earthly wisdom, as we just heard. But such earthly wisdom is contrasted by that which is spoken by those truly sent by the Lord. Those truly sent by the Lord speak a heavenly wisdom, a wisdom, as James also says, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, James 3:17. He also says that those genuinely sent by Christ are also peacemakers, sowing the fruit of righteousness. So our text tells us that there are those sent by Christ are his disciples. They operate in a delegated authority from Jesus, and they are sent by him into the world. We must understand that ours is a heaven-sent gospel. It is not contrived by men. It is not something anyone made up. It's a doctrine that came down from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said in John 6, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." We too must first detach from the ways of the world if we are going to walk in the ways of the Lord in our ministries. Now, tragically, this is a principle that has often been lost on the church. And in part two of this message, I want to spend some time talking to you about that. I want to spend some time talking to you as to why this ministry of the called, the gifted, and the sent is so rare today, and why we see so little power at work in the church. I think it will fascinate you, at least. It may frustrate you, which would be good. And it may even grieve you to the point of praying for repentance and revival once you understand why this is happening. Why is it that we don't hear the kingdom of God being preached in our churches? Why is it that we don't see the power of God on display in our churches? And I'll talk to you about that next in part two. So stay with me, and may the Lord keep you and bless you and give you a hunger for the reality and the truth as set forth in the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ and his ministry to you and through you to the world. Amen.